psalmist has written in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And down in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Good morning, everyone. Today is Sunday, April the 5th, 2020. It is the first day of a new month, and therefore this is Communion Sunday today. It is also Palm Sunday, the day of Christ's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And what a wonderful day this is as we contemplate the sacrifice of our Savior on the cross for our sins and then his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. I know you are all home in isolation and self-quarantine. I trust that you all are doing okay, not going stir crazy and staying healthy. This is the second Sunday for me to lead a service in an empty sanctuary, but I am imagining you all in your seats in this room, and I'll keep that image in mind for the hour ahead. Y'all look so good sitting there this morning. We want to go to prayer, and just before we go to prayer, a couple of requests. Marv Armstrong had his fourth chemo treatment last Friday and came through it very well. He has felt no major side effects from the chemo, and for that we give thanks to the Lord. He is waiting for his next appointment with the oncologist to assess his blood work and see if changes need to be made in his treatment. Keep he and Kathy in your prayers, please. Also, Mark Berry is still in Perry Sound with her son Wayne and family. Wayne does not seem to be improving. He's very weak and a lot of pain. And so we're asking that you would keep them in your prayers as well. And then also we have heard that Brittany Scott is doing very well and improving. And for that, we praise the Lord. I'd ask you to keep our seniors in retirement homes, in seniors' homes, and our shut-ins, keep them in your prayers. None of them, as far as we have known or heard, have succumbed to the virus. And for that, we give thanks to the Lord as well. So let's be sure to pray for one another in these strange days. I trust you are doing your best to keep this COVID-19 virus from spreading. And you are all in my prayers. Trust that we are in yours as well. And then lastly, let's be sure that we thank the Lord for all the men and women who are working in hospitals and emergency rooms and paramedics, who are seeking to help those who are ill, especially those with the virus, but others as well who are struggling with health issues. Let's keep our police and our firefighters in our prayers and giving thanks to the Lord for them. And also those who are working in essential services like grocery stores and pharmacies, and then including the truck drivers who continue to get merchandise to the stores. And we need to thank the Lord and to keep these folks in our prayers, that they would be safe, free from illness, that they could carry on and do their work. So let me invite you to bow your heads, and we'll have a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We are thankful to you for your watchful care over us. Thank you that we have great assurance in our hearts and lives that you are watching over this world, that you are not letting anything go without your will and by your sovereign control in the events that are happening. We thank you for keeping all of our folks safe and sound in these couple of weeks and trust that you will continue to do so on into the days ahead. We thank you so much for your care for all of our folks health-wise. We rejoice in for Marv and for Kathy and his last chemo treatment. Thank you that there's been no severe side effects for him and that he is doing well. We trust and pray that when the oncologist appointment comes up next, I think in a couple of weeks, that it will be a good report for him and that perhaps they will see the chemo doing what it should to help him with his cancer. And so we keep them in your presence, in your care, and ask that you would just watch over them. We thank you for Marg, the fact that she's been able to be up there with Wayne and minister to them and to her family. We do pray for Wayne that you would continue to undertake for him, grant him a measure of freedom from severe pain. We pray that you will keep him each and every day, help him to be comfortable, we trust, throughout the day. And we thank you that he knows the Lord as he knows you as his Savior, and we thank you for that and pray that you will continue to bless in the that home in the days that are ahead. And be with Marg as well. Give her strength day by day to help minister and to help out with the family. And then we thank you for Brittany and the fact that she has improved in her health issues as well. And for that, we give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we would commit our senior folks in seniors' homes and nursing homes, our shut-ins, to your care and provisions as well. Thank you that as far as we know, no one has succumbed to the virus, and we just pray that that may continue on, and once we get past this critical time, that we would be able to rejoin together and to be out and about and to, in person, be able to meet and greet one another again. But we pray that you would keep our folks safe, all of our folks safe, not just seniors, but all of our folks this day, that you would keep them safe in their homes. We thank you so much for those who are on the front lines of help and service in this particular pandemic. Thank you for the doctors and the nurses, for all the healthcare workers, personal home care workers as well, looking after folks in their home. We thank you for their service and pray that you will continue to give them health and strength to be able to do those very essential services for the citizens of our country. We know that many of them are tired, and we just pray for daily strength for them. We thank you for our police and firefighters. Pray that you will continue to bless them in these days as they do their jobs as well. We also thank you for folks who are working in the grocery stores, in the pharmacies. We thank you for the truckers that are bringing merchandise to these places so that folks can buy the things that are needful through the week. We're thankful, Lord, that, again, we have the assurance that you know all that is going on in our world this day, and pray that you'll continue to work out your own will for all that is required and necessary for each and every one. We would pray, certainly, that through all of this crisis, this pandemic, and just all the things that have come as a result of it, might drive people to thyself, that they may have a sense that they need to turn to you and to acknowledge your presence and to entrust themselves to your care. We would pray, Lord, that as many are doing live stream services, videos, and Bible studies, and putting them on the internet for people to see and to hear, that many might respond to the gospel of Christ and come to a place where they realize they are a sinner and need a Savior, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior that they need. And we would pray that even those who we are able to minister to talk to from time to time, occasionally, and with our six-foot distance, that we might have opportunities to share the Lord Jesus and the gospel of Christ with them as well. So, Father, we commit ourselves to your care and keeping. We ask you'll continue to watch over us in the days that are ahead, and for your name, and in your name and for your glory, we pray. Amen. Here's a few announcements. We haven't been publishing a bulletin, so let me give them to you here just quickly. Number one, we'll not be meeting for our Biblical Dark Wednesday service nor the Calvary service this Friday, this coming week. I don't expect that we'll be able to meet on Easter Sunday either. I'm hoping to do another recording for Wednesday, to help us in commemorating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so look for that recording on the church website this coming week. We'll send out an email to you to let you know when that's posted. Secondly, thank you all who have made efforts to get their tithes and offerings to the church this last week. Really appreciate your faithfulness. And if you haven't had yet an opportunity to give your tithes and offerings, let me remind you that you can give through e-transfer to the church. Just send your gift to donations@bereanbaptistlondon.org. Or you can mail your check to the church. We are regularly checking the mail here through the week. Or you can drop off your envelope at the church on Friday, sometime between 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. But then if none of these means suits you or you're not able to do any of them, then just hang on to your offering and bring it in the next time we meet, whenever that is. Thirdly, some have asked about our financial status in light of not being able to meet here. I'm pleased to let you know that we are doing okay, even more than okay. God has really blessed in this month of March and has provided in some marvelous ways for the needs of our church. He is good, and that is always. He is always good and gracious to us. Here's just a bit of a review for March 2020. We met three times in March, and we were closed for two Sundays. The tithes and offerings for the first three Sundays were $8,401 and some change. And then we received another $4,000 for tithes and offerings over the last 2 weeks. When we weren't meeting, those monies came in by e-transfer and drop-offs at the church. So the total tithes and offerings for March 2020 is $12,401.20. Praise the Lord for that. To give you a further breakdown in missions, our total income for missions for the month of March was $3,097.50. That was a combination of tithes and offerings plus designated amounts. Our expenses for missions in March were $2,368. We had a gain, income over expenses, of $729.50 in missions. And the balance on hand at the end of March 2020 for missions fund is $4,997. In terms of our ministry fund, our total income for ministry through the month of March was $10,904.21. Our expenses were $9,061 and some change. We had a gain, income over expenses, of $1,842.73. The balance on hand as of March 31st, 2020, in our ministry fund is $14,806.37. As you can see, we are in good shape for a few months financially. All of our missionaries have received their support, and all our bills have been paid. And thank you all for your gracious giving of tithes and offerings to the Lord Jesus through our church. May God bless you all for your sacrificial giving to Berean. One thing that is coming up rather quickly is the anniversary date of our mortgage. That date is May the 6th, 2020. As you will recall, we can put some extra dollars against the principal of our mortgage, up to $40,000 a year. And on that date, we can do the same. In the past couple of years, I have encouraged us all to set aside some extra funds for the mortgage to be able to put some extra on the principal. Remember the mortgage challenge a few years ago? Well, we haven't issued the mortgage challenge the last couple of years, but y'all have been still setting aside money for the mortgage, and I thank you for that. Last year, in 2019, we were able to put an additional $23,000 off the principal besides the mortgage payments for a total of $45,230 off the mortgage. And so we thank the Lord for his provisions to be able to do that. Let me give you a quick snapshot of our mortgage status as it stands now. Our current balance in the mortgage as of the end of March is $68,788.68. We have reduced the principal by almost $5,000 since the beginning of the year. We have been receiving some funds each week towards the mortgage. We have a total on hand as of the end of March of $2,865. We have some additional funds in the capital fund and the contingency fund that can be applied to the mortgage, and which is a total of $1,583, plus whatever you may be setting aside for the mortgage challenge. So because May the 6th is a Wednesday, we would want to take up the offering for the mortgage challenge on Sunday, May the 3rd, 2020. I don't know if we'll be meeting together in the church by that time or not. We may need to be prepared to give towards the mortgage as we are doing now by e-transfer, mail, or drop-off. But please pray for this important offering. It would be wonderful to have the mortgage finished next year, which will be our 25th church anniversary year. And if possible, that would be a great thing. And then lastly, our missionary of the month for April is the D'Souza family, Manuel, Ellen, and Vitoriana in Brazil, Eva and Joao Mateus in British Columbia at school, and then Stephanie and Christoph in Germany. I would ask you to keep them in your prayers each day that the Lord might bless them, use them, and take care of them where they are. We did receive a prayer letter from Ellen on behalf of the family on Friday, and it's not too long, so let me read it to you. Dear friends, I guess the biggest thing that has happened to us since I last wrote is that we moved. Yes, God provided a house for us here in Mauá da Serra, and in less than a month we were moved. We have seen the revelation of God's truth in ways such as a month's free rent and a forklift practically at our house door to be able to unload the piano. What an answer to prayer slash blessing that was. For most of the time since our move, we have been isolated. It has been a good time for us to be able to organize our home to enjoy being together as a family. Vitoriana and I are back to homeschooling after taking time off to move. Even though our family is spread over three continents, we are all experiencing the same situation due to the COVID-19, as you all are too. We are thankful to God for his protection and peace at this time. We know that God is in control. The president of Brazil has asked that tomorrow, which would have been yesterday, Saturday, that it would be a day of fasting and prayer. We are thankful for the president, but he is facing much opposition. He puts God first and has prayed in parliament. We are praying much for the president, Brazil, and the world. Thank you for praying too. We have not been able to officially start any ministries, but that is all in God's hands. Loving Christ, Manuel, Ellen, and Vitoriana. Now, you'll notice that in her letter, she makes no mention of Eva and Joao Mateus' graduation and their opportunity to be able to get there to see them, or even if they're still planning to go. They may not be able to get there with borders being closed, and don't know exactly when graduation was planned for. Usually it would be sometime around the end of this month, end of April, but things are really up in the air right now about all of that, so we'll keep them in our prayers about that situation as well. Now, we don't have a prayer chorus for this month. It didn't seem to be necessary at this time, but I do have some special music for you this morning. The song, entitled In Christ Alone, is a wonderful modern hymn by Keith and Kristen Getty. This presentation is by a young man who sings all four parts a cappella, and I trust this song will speak to your heart and that you will listen to the words and that it would be a blessing to you this morning. You can sing along if you wish.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless space. Scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ.
Thank you for that good singing this morning. Now, this is Communion Sunday, and even though we aren't together here in this room and will not be sharing in the bread or the cup, I would ask that you take a moment or two this morning and come before the Lord in self-examination, as we would if we were here, and then thank the Lord Jesus for all he's done for us on Calvary's cross, to remember him on this day and for his sacrifice of himself on the cross. And then may I suggest that you sing the little chorus we finished communion with, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." You can sing it in your heart or your mind, or even sing it out loud if you want, where you are. Now, our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. And I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the passage. Read it along with me. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Matthew, the apostle Matthew, writes by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he pens these words. "And when they," that would be Jesus and his disciples, "when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This first day of the week was such an important day in the week that Jesus died some 2,000 years ago. It marked the triumphal entry of the King of Israel into his capital city, Jerusalem, to the acclaim of throngs of people waving palm branches and hailing the king with Hosanna. Can you see the scene in your mind's eye? It must have been awesome. Jesus riding on a donkey, not a war horse, showing himself to be the humble savior of his people. Not the conquering king of Israel's enemies, the Romans, and just on a colt, on a donkey. At least this point in time he's riding on the donkey. That scene is yet to be played out where he comes on a war horse to destroy Israel's enemies. That scene is yet to be played out on planet Earth in the near future, we believe. Read Revelation 19. In verse 11. But this day was important for another reason, and this reason is the fulfillment of the Old Testament shadow of Passover. For this day, this first day of the week, the triumphal entry, was the 10th day of the first month for Israel, month that is called Nisan. It was the day when the lambs were chosen, the lambs who would be killed and whose blood would be put on the doorposts and lintel of the houses of the people who were inside eating the lamb for a special dinner back in the days when Israel were slaves in Egypt. And so let's remind ourselves of this momentous event in the life of the children of Israel as Jehovah God set himself to deliver Israel out of Egypt. I would invite you, keep your finger in Matthew 21 and come on back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I'd like to read in chapter 12 of Exodus from verses 1 down through 14 and then from verse 28 down to 32. You can follow along. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain till the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be for you, unto you, for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And then down to verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. In the week that Jesus died on the cross, the 10th day of Nisan was the first day of the week. The triumphal entry was in fact, the choosing of the Lamb by the nation. The Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, according to John the Baptist in John 1, verse 29. This is just plain awesome, isn't it? That God's timing would be so organized that this 10th day, the choosing of the lambs for Passover, would be the very same day that Jesus was acclaimed to come into his kingdom as the king, the choosing of the Lamb of God, the Son of God. It's just marvelous to consider the timing in all of this. It helps us to understand that God is in control. He is working out his plans to bring not only salvation and deliverance to this world, but his ultimate plan for all ages is just continuing to work. And we have the assurance that he is looking out even for us in these days. Now, there's other things to consider in the context of Matthew 21. The 10th day, here's a few of them. The 10th day being the first day of the week, which is Sunday, then makes the 14th day Passover on Thursday in the week. You need to remember that the Jewish day is from sundown to sundown. So the 14th day is from 6 p.m. on our Wednesday to 6 p.m. on Thursday. Just like the weekly Sabbath is from 6 p.m. on our Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. So the first day of the week in Jewish reckoning begins at 6 p.m. on our Saturday. Remember also that the Jewish day begins and ends with an evening. An evening is described as a few hours before sunset and a few hours after sunset. Our day, how we reckon our day from midnight to midnight, our day has only one evening. Israel has two. There is an evening to open the new day from beginning at 6 p.m. and then an evening to close the day from, say, 4 down to 6 p.m. This is important for determining which evening the lamb was to be killed. Was it the opening evening of the 14th or the closing evening of the 14th day? Many Bible commentators take it to be the closing evening of the 14th. I think primarily because of our Western mindset of what evening is. Remember, however, a couple of things. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 6, the Lord said the lamb that was chosen on the 10th day was to be kept up until the 14th day and then killed in the evening. The Hebrew here in this verse is literally between the evenings. Practically then, around 6 p.m. And so it was between the closing evening of the 13th day and the opening of evening of the 14th day that was in mind here. The fact that it was the closing of the 13th day and the opening of the 14th day is confirmed because of a couple of verses in Exodus as well. In Exodus 11, verse 4 and chapter 12, verse 29, we are told that the death angel went through the land at midnight of the 14th. And therefore the lamb was killed, the blood applied as the 13th day Wednesday closed and the 14th day Thursday began. And the Lord said when he traveled through at midnight in the land of Egypt, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If they waited until the afternoon evening on the 14th, it would have been too late because a death angel came through at midnight, which would have been 6 hours after the start of the new day, the 14th. The scriptures are so detailed about this timing as to be without question. If one compares scripture with scripture and uses his sanctified reasoning skills, one must come to these conclusions. You need to also remember that the body slash shadow reality. Christ is the body that cast the shadow that Passover was. In 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 we read, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17, Paul writes, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Everything lines up perfectly with the days of the week and the events of Passover and the last week of Jesus Christ before his death on the cross. And if you haven't already read my dad's book, History's Most Important 10 Days, I would encourage you to get a copy of it, have a read through it. It explains things very, very clearly. And if you haven't been through it in a while, then and you have it, then maybe you want to review it once again. Now, back to the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus into the city of Jerusalem in Matthew 21. This is the 10th day of Nisan, the day of the choosing of the lambs for Passover. And notice the scene as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on that donkey. Let me remind you what it says. In Matthew 21, beginning of verse 4, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." This day and this event was the fulfillment of Scripture, and the people hardly realized it. Some did, and they brought Christ into the city to great acclaim and hosannas, but most of the people didn't really have a clue. Now, to really emphasize the fulfillment of Scripture, of the king coming to his city, Jesus went into the temple, and Matthew says, the temple of God. Jesus was already in the temple earlier this weekend, in fact, the Friday before. In Mark chapter 11, verse 11, we're told that Jesus came into the city, he went into the temple, he looked around to see what was going on there, and then he left and went to Bethany to the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. That would have been the previous Friday. They would have kept the weekly Sabbath there in Bethany and then returned to Jerusalem on the first day of the week, the triumphal entry, and went into the temple again, only this time Jesus did something very unexpected, although not out of character for him. In Matthew 21, verse 12, in essence, Jesus cleaned house that day. He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. The temple had become a marketplace where merchants exchanged the money people had for temple money, which is the only kind of money accepted in the temple. Them that sold and bought were the merchants who sold animals for sacrifice, including the ones who sold doves for sacrifice. The place had become a barnyard, a zoo. And Jesus was incensed. This is not what the temple was for. He said to them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves." That's in verse 13. Now, Jesus was referring to Isaiah 56, verse 7, which says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." For all people, for all nations. The house of the Lord was to be a house of prayer. The temple was intended to be a place where one could come and talk with the Lord in prayer and worship him. But man had exploited the house to make themselves some money. They had perverted the temple, the purpose of the temple. And it would seem that nobody saw that abuse but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did something about it. He drove them all out. He authenticated his actions with Scripture. It is written, he said, "My house is to be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves." This was not the first time Jesus had cleaned out the temple area. Back in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 25, it records the first time Jesus drove out the money changers and those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves. Most Bible commentators understand that this cleansing in John chapter 2 was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It would appear that the greed and avarice of the Jews would not be swayed for long, for now, about 3 years later, the merchandisers are back, and Jesus had to cleanse the temple yet again. What's interesting in John chapter 2 is the disciples' understanding of what Jesus was doing. In John 2 verse 17 we read, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.'" And that's Psalm 69 verse 9. The zeal of thine house. This is what Jesus was expressing on that day of triumphal entry. He was not only Israel's king coming to his capital city, but he was the Savior and Messiah coming in to clean up the house of God, to bring God's house back to what it was supposed to be, a house of prayer and worship, not a marketplace or a place of entertainment or recreation or anything else man can think of. This act of Jesus validated his claim to be Israel's king and Messiah and Savior. It also establishes the true purposes of God for his places of worship, the purpose of which we must acknowledge and keep for our place of worship today here at Berean Baptist Church. Our church is to be a place of prayer and worship and fellowship with the saints. And we're purposed to keep Berean Baptist Church to be such a place. Jesus gave his life to make it so. Let us keep it so as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful day, the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus into his city. Thank you for the zeal that consumed him to clean house in the temple and to remind people that the temple was to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. We thank you that he took the opportunity and the desire to clean the house and to throw them all out of that place. We thank you that after having done that he welcomed all of the ones who were ill, the lame and the deaf, and healed them all, further authenticating who he was as Israel's Messiah, Savior, and Lord and King. And we thank you for having this passage recorded for us. We trust that you will bless your word to our hearts as we continue to further think on these things, especially this week in the life of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And we recognize and acknowledge that you indeed are the King of Israel, the Lord of Lords, God of Gods. You are our Savior, our Lord, and our God as well. And we pray that you would help us to live in such a manner as would bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for our time in the Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. To close our service this morning, let me just say, my beloved, I trust and pray you will have a good week, a good rest of this day, and a good week ahead. Keep safe. Trust the Lord. He will see us through this pandemic and this time of self-isolation. I love you all and pray for you all. Let's keep in touch with one another. And don't forget to check the church website for today's service. We'll post it shortly. God bless you all. I am your servant for Jesus' sake. Bye for now.